Muy buenos días, estimado Radio Escucha. Soy doctor Leonardo Claros, jefe de la sección de cirugía bariátrica y director de programa para la pérdida de peso del Hospital y Red de Salud de St. Luke's. Como es costumbre, en su dial todos los sábados por la mañana, tengo el placer de ser su anfitrión en este programa Hablando con su Doctor, donde discutimos y hablamos sobre temas relevantes relacionados con su salud. Gracias por acompañarnos en este su radio Mega 106.9 FM Allentown, 99.5 FM Lehigh Valley y 92.9 FM Reading. Los padecimientos o enfermedades de la edad pediátrica que derivan en algún procedimiento o intervención quirúrgica son muy diversos, siempre han existido y existirán. Los avances científicos nos permiten hacer diagnósticos más precisos y a edades más tempranas, incluso antes del nacimiento. De esta manera obtenemos mejores resultados. Es común que cualquiera de nosotros se haya enterado que practicaron una cirugía al hijo de algún conocido, un familiar, un vecino, un compañerito de la escuela o incluso haberlo vivido en algún momento de nuestra infancia. Lo que sí es poco frecuente que nos preguntemos es quién es la persona que opera, cuál es la edad ideal para una operación, si existe un cirujano especialista en pacientes pediátricos, si está capacitado para dicha intervención, ¿cuál sería el lugar idóneo para una cirugía de estas características? Si el personal que apoya al cirujano está capacitado, si la cirugía de un niño conlleva el mismo proceso que un adulto. Estas son algunas de las preguntas que usted se puede hacer. Lo más importante de todo es entender que el paciente pediátrico en cualquiera de sus edades no es un adulto pequeño. No se le receta una o media cucharada. No son las mismas estructuras anatómicas, pero en una forma más pequeña. No, es una cirugía más sencilla o menos compleja por ser pequeña. El comportamiento y la respuesta fisiológica del paciente pediátrico es muy distinta a la de un adulto. De ahí la necesidad de que sean atendidos por médicos capacitados para ello. El cirujano pediatra es el especialista en procedimientos quirúrgicos durante la infancia, desde el primer día de vida hasta los 18 años de edad. Para ejercer su función requieren una preparación profesional de entre 13 y 15 años, de los cuales al menos 7 estuvieron dedicados exclusivamente a los niños de cualquier edad y posteriormente tuvo que certificarse por alguna organización civil avalada por el gobierno para ejercer dentro de los parámetros mínimos de seguridad, calidad y responsabilidad médica. Finalmente, pero no menos importante, el cirujano pediatra tiene que estar involucrado con un equipo médico calificado y afín a su especialidad con el mismo grado de profesionalización, por ejemplo, anestesiólogos, intensivistas, enfermeras. Este es el caso de nuestro hospital y el día de hoy tengo como invitada a la doctora Shaheen Timmapuri, una cirujana pediatra que trabaja con nosotros en la red de salud St. Luke's, así que démosle la bienvenida. Doctora Timmapuri, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure to have you. I was just giving a little introduction about pediatric surgery and how, you know, this notion that kids are like little adults and maybe this is just a smaller surgery and that is not correct. So I am very excited that you're here today and that we're going to talk to our audience about what is the pediatric surgery. But let's start about your background. Hablemos un poco sobre sus antecedentes, capacitación, qué es lo que la trae a trabajar con nosotros en St. Luke's. So tell us a little about yourself, your background, training, your work. What is it that brought you here to the Valley to work with us at St. Luke's?
Sure, I'd be very happy to. Yeah, so I've been a pediatric surgeon for just over 12 years now. You know, when we think about all of the years of training that we do, after medical school, in order to become a pediatric surgeon, I had to do 6 years of training in general surgery, followed by 2 years of pediatric surgery fellowship, which is just specialized training in pediatric surgery. You know, when I was doing my initial job in Philadelphia, I worked frequently with St. Luke's, and I was very impressed by the quality of care and the, you know, the real dedication and passion of all of their providers for the patients. So when this opportunity arose to be able to start a pediatric surgery program here at St. Luke's, I was very excited, and I'm happy that I was given the opportunity to come here and work in the Valley.
Well, that is incredible. La doctora Timmapuri nos hablaba de que obviamente esta es una especialidad, pero de alta capacitación. Después de del entrenamiento en la escuela de medicina, se realiza un entrenamiento formal en cirugía y después un fellowship de 2 años en cirugía pediátrica. La doctora Timapuri ha estado como cirujana pediatra, me dice que aproximadamente en 12 años, y estaba trabajando en St. Christopher, si no me equivoco, y luego vino pues con nosotros al Hospital de St. Louis. You were working at St. Christopher's before, correct?
That's correct. I did my fellowship training at St. Christopher's and then worked there for 8 years as an attending.
When did you come to St. Luke's?
I actually started in St. Luke's in March, and then we had to make a lot of preparation because, as you said, you know, caring for children is not just like caring for little adults. So we had to make sure we had a lot of specialized equipment and training present. And then we started doing surgeries and things in June of this year.
That is fantastic. Bueno, la doctora trabajaba en St. Christopher's, ahí es donde hizo el fellowship, la especialidad, y luego fue contratada como jefa de Chief of the Pediatric Section, Pediatric Surgery Section, y está como jefa del servicio de cirugía pediátrica con nosotros en St. Luke's. Obviamente, el hospital tiene que tener todo el equipo, toda la especialidad, la infraestructura, y es lo que han estado haciendo estos últimos meses, pero las cirugías se han estado practicando aproximadamente desde junio, así que tenemos un servicio totalmente implementado de cirugía pediátrica. Doctora, hablemos un poco de qué es lo que es un cirujano pediatra, qué es lo que hacen ustedes específicamente. So let's talk a little bit about what is a pediatric surgeon. What does one do?
Yes, so as a pediatric general surgeon, I focus on taking care of children of a wide age range. So we start with children that are premature newborns all the way up to older teenagers. So you can see that really spans different areas of their lives. And with each of these different periods of time in their life come different types of diagnoses that we take care of. So, you know, it's really a wide variety of ages as well as a wide variety of cases that we take care of.
Un cirujano pediatra, entonces, se especializa, como habíamos dicho, obviamente, en atender a niños desde los momentos de edades más tempranas, incluso antes del nacimiento. Y habíamos dicho en nuestra introducción, desde el primer día de vida hasta los 18 años de edad. Y obviamente, pues una diversidad de afecciones que tienen los pacientes. ¿Qué tipo de afecciones son las que usted comúnmente trata, doctora Timapuri? What types of conditions are more commonly treated by yourself?
Some of the most common things that we take care of as pediatric surgeons are things like hernias, so children can get hernias in their belly buttons or the umbilical hernias, as well as inguinal hernias, which are also groin hernias. Other very common things that we take care of are appendicitis. We see very frequently in children. Children also develop all types of different masses like cysts or lymph nodes, other, you know, types of, we call them lumps and bumps on their bodies. And then very commonly in young babies, we treat things that are referred to as congenital anomalies or birth defects. And so we can talk to parents even before the baby's born, if we know the child will have that condition, and talk to them about what the plan of care will be. And then we help to take care of the children after they're born so that they can live a more normal life.
Okay. Algunas de las afecciones más comunes que estarían tratando los cirujanos pediatras, nos decía la doctora Timapuri, son las hernias a veces en el ombligo, hernias inguinales, que son muy, muy comunes en los niños, quistes congénitos. Hay algunas cosas que se llaman los lumps and bumps que nos hacía referencia la doctora Timapuri, eso, todas las cosas como sean lipomas y algo, digamos, un área muy importante también es obviamente las anomalías congénitas que se pueden diagnosticar incluso antes de que los niños hayan nacido. Así que la doctora y su equipo, pues obviamente aconsejan a los padres de familia, si es que se necesita hacer algún tipo de cirugía o qué tipo de cirugía es la que se tiene que realizar en el niño, incluso podría ser inmediatamente después que nacen o antes de que nacieran. Así que es algo realmente una especialidad, pero muy, muy, muy grande, muy, muy, muy especializada, valga la redundancia. Y es por eso que la estamos tocando el día de hoy, porque creemos que nuestros radio escuchas entienden de que obviamente los cirujanos pediatras pues son médicos totalmente especializados y una vez más una cirugía pediátrica no es una cirugía en un adulto pequeño. Así que, estimado radio escuchas, soy el doctor Leonardo Claros Este es su programa Hablando con su Doctor. El día de hoy tengo a mi invitada, la doctora Shaheen Timarpuri, una cirujana pediatra que trabaja con nosotros en St. Luke's. Y estamos hablando sobre los cirujanos pediátricos y la cirugía pediátrica que tenemos en St. Luke's. Doctora, ¿cuál es su filosofía de atención? Digamos, el enfoque al paciente pediátrico. ¿Cómo es diferente con los adultos? ¿Cómo tranquilizamos a los niños, a las familias? Hablemos un poco de eso. Let's talk a little about your philosophy of care and approach to the pediatric patient. How do you put children and families at ease? It's not the same. I remember from my rotations, you know, my pediatric rotations when I was a resident, not too long ago.
Yeah.
But I remember that talking to the parents, to the families of little children is different. I think, you know, having a child that is sick, that is acutely ill, it just carries a different kind of anxiety when we talk, you know, to someone that might be having an adult. I'm not saying it's less important when you're an adult, but I think it's different. I don't know if you really understand what I'm saying, but I understand that the approach is different. Las cosas son diferentes cuando uno se aproxima a este tipo de pacientes, ¿verdad?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, and I appreciate the question. I think that's a very important point. As you said, surgery in any age is very stressful. But I think when a child is having surgery, not only is it very stressful for the child, but also for the parents and the rest of the family, Yes. Even if it's a more straightforward case. So I think what's very important, what the approach I try to take is that I really believe in a family-centric model of care, or really including the family, the parents, and the child in the whole process. So I try to, you know, put them at ease as much as I can while examining the child, of course. But even when discussing the child's diagnosis and the, you know, what's going to happen during surgery and things like that, by including the parents and really explaining things well to them and to the child, I think it does put them at ease because they really feel like they're part of the process. You know, I want to make sure they understand what's going to happen so that hopefully it alleviates some of that anxiety that they face.
Of course, digamos, la filosofía de atención que tiene la doctora es obviamente incluir a toda la familia. Habíamos hablado de que muchas veces cuando los niños están agudamente enfermos o tienen una situación de emergencia que requiera tal vez cirugía, es un proceso bastante estresante, preocupante para la familia. Y una vez más, al examinar al paciente, al niño, al hablar con las familias, pues se trata de ser lo más inclusive posible. Para que, digamos, las cosas se entiendan muy bien. There are, of course, legal issues as well. You know, pediatric patients cannot consent for themselves. And of course, you have to have, you know, the parents, you know, present. All these things, you know, are, of course, obvious requirements and limitations that why general surgeons should not be performing pediatric surgery in pediatric patients. And I, of course, you know, we do not have the privileges within certain hospitals, but I know that, you know, sometimes, you know, some institutions push a little bit boundaries, and we are allowed to perform in surgeries in like maybe 16, 17 year olds, and that not necessarily adults, but it's a little different. How do you approach this? I mean, do you have to have a parent all the time there? Some of the, implications about this?
Do you mean during surgery or just
for the consent
process?
For the consent.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. The parents are definitely involved during the consent process. And that's why it's important to kind of involve everyone in the process. So obviously a child who is very young, say, you know, a six-year-old, they may not understand a lot, but they understand more than we think. So they know that we're talking about doing something to them. So I think it's important that we explain to the child in whatever terms they can understand at their age what's going to happen. And of course, giving the parents, you know, even the more technical details and things. But I think involving both of them is very important, as you implied, both from a legal as well as an ethical issue, because the child still is, you know, it's still their body, and we want to make sure that they know what we're doing to them.
Absolutely. la doctora nos explicaba de que incluso los niños, por más pequeños o por más jóvenes que sean, pacientes de 6 años, ellos entienden una gran parte, digamos, lo que está ocurriendo con ellos, así que se les explica en términos sencillos lo que va a ocurrir, pero obviamente desde un punto de vista legal es que los padres tienen que estar presentes para hacer el consentimiento de las cirugías que se practiquen, así que eso es algo también diferente con lo que respecta a la cirugía en los adultos. Doctora, yo soy un cirujano, obviamente entiendo la pregunta, pero la pienso que es pertinente en el sentido de que podamos explicar a las personas que nos están oyendo. ¿Es la cirugía segura para los niños? ¿Qué tipo de cosas hacemos o se hacen para que sea este tipo de cirugía más segura? I am a surgeon myself. I specialize in minimally invasive surgery, do laparoscopic surgery pretty much 99% of the time. And I know the answer to what I'm going to ask you, but I want you to tell our audience about how safe is the surgery for children? Because a lot of people say, like, well, you know, it's probably safe in adults, but I don't know if it's safe for the kids. And what are the types of things that we do, and you know, to make surgery safer for children?
Yes, that's a very important point. We always say, obviously, it depends on the overall medical condition of the child. But most children are very healthy, and they actually, if anything, are safer undergoing surgery than a lot of adults. Yes. But it is important that we undertake important, factors with that. So just as I specialize in pediatric surgery and was specially trained in taking care of those children, we also work with pediatric anesthesiologists who are used to taking care of very young and fragile children. So they've also done special training so that they know all the nuances of caring for young children. We have nursing staff. If the child needs to be in the hospital, intensive care staff that can take care of children. And then also specialized operating room equipment that are for small children. Because as you said, you do laparoscopic surgery in adults, but if we're operating and doing laparoscopic surgery on a baby, we need to make sure we have smaller and more delicate instruments that are made for that aged patient.
Absolutely. And I love the answer because it explains exactly the way that I wanted you to tell, you know, the audience. Y nos explicó de una forma pero muy elegante, muy concisa la doctora, donde obviamente la cirugía puede ser muy segura. En muchos casos es más segura en los pacientes pediátricos porque, bueno, obviamente están en mejor condición de salud que un paciente, digamos, a mayor avanzada edad. Tenemos todo el equipo, obviamente, para realizar la cirugía pediátrica. Los instrumentos no son del tamaño para los pacientes adultos. Y como habíamos dicho también en la introducción, tenemos un equipo pero totalmente especializado. Anestesiólogos pediatras, intensivistas pediatras, enfermeras pediátricas. Todo un equipo capacitado que trabajan al unísono para tomar cuidado, para cuidar de los pacientes pediátricos. Así que esa también es una de las cosas importantes que uno tiene que tomar en cuenta cuando está llevando a un niño para que se le realice un tipo de este, cualquier tipo de este procedimiento. Así que, estimado radioescucha, soy el doctor Leonardo Claros. El día de hoy mi invitada es la doctora Shaheen Tiemapuri, es una cirujana pediatra. Estamos hablando sobre cirugía pediátrica en este subprograma que es Hablando con su Doctora. Doctora, ¿una consulta con un cirujano significa necesariamente que un niño va a ser operado? ¿Cuáles son los tipos de, digamos, de consultas más comunes que usted está realizando? What are some of the most common consultations that you see on your daily professional activity?
I would say one of the most common things we see is children with abdominal pain. And children can have abdominal pain for lots of different reasons, but we're looking for things like appendicitis or other types of conditions that require surgery. Other types of things we see, like I said, in the office are children that need more elective procedures, things like the hernias we discussed or other masses where we're consulting and we're evaluating the child to see if they need surgery or maybe if they just need more evaluation through radiology studies or, to determine what the next best step is.
algunas de las operaciones y consultas más comunes que está viendo la doctora Tima por en su práctica. Hablaba de que el dolor abdominal, una de las presentaciones más comunes, digamos, de la patología en los niños sería la apendicitis. Y muchas veces también consultas, digamos, de cosas más selectivas, como ser hernias o tal vez algunos quistes de que habíamos hablado. Pero obviamente esto, digamos, es dentro de la especialidad que tiene la doctora, y yo creo que una de las consultas más comunes obviamente sería la apendicitis. Is there a difference in the emergency room location, or these pediatric patients are going through the regular pediatric emergency room that we have at St. Luke's?
Yes, they're going through the regular emergency room right now that we have at St. Luke's. But, you know, if they're determined to have any kind of condition, then obviously they, you know, the pediatric surgery team will evaluate the child there or any other pediatric specialty group. You know, and we are working on focusing care for children and hopefully building a pediatric emergency room as well, in order to really focus on the needs of children as patients.
Do we have the pediatric capability in every single one of our hospitals in the network, or where are these surgeries being hubbed to?
Yeah, the beauty of our network is how interconnected we are. All the pediatric surgeries are being done at Bethlehem currently, because we want to make sure we have all the specialists in one area, as well as all of that specific equipment we need. But if a child goes to any of the emergency rooms in our network, the doctors there can communicate with me and other pediatric specialists to determine if the child needs to be brought to Bethlehem for a procedure.
Okay. Actualmente hay una interacción y una continuidad de atención en todos los hospitales de St. Luke's, y la doctora nos explicaba de que en un estadio inicial, el paciente va a ser evaluado en cualquiera de las salas de emergencia de la red de salud de St. Luke's. Y si es que se determinara que ese paciente necesita una operación o algún tipo de procedimiento quirúrgico, pues el team, el equipo de cirugía pediátrica, es contactado para una evaluación. Y es que en ese momento, pues contactan ya sea la doctora Tima Puri o alguno de los integrantes de su equipo, y se decide si ese paciente necesita ser transferido al hospital en Bethlehem. Actualmente, St. Luke's Bethlehem es donde se están haciendo este tipo de cirugías, ya que se ha destinado como un centro especializado para cirugía pediátrica, donde tenemos todos los muebles, la infraestructura, el equipo, etcétera, para realizar el debido cuidado de estos pacientes que tienen el tipo de operaciones. I just want to go back a little bit to something that you said, and I always thought that it was fascinating. The way that kids bounce back after surgery is absolutely remarkable. I remember them during my rotations in at Children's Hospital, that it could have been a really morbid, long surgery, and the next day they would be running around, dragging their drains. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. We used to tell, you know, as residents, that children are really indestructible. And like you said, most of them actually respond really well to surgery. Of course, there are like more serious conditions that are probably not the same, but it was absolutely amazing how the kids actually bounce back from this operation. Es increíble cómo los niños rebotan este tipo de operaciones, pero bastante agudamente. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree. I say that all the time. And I think that's one of the reasons I went into pediatric surgery. I'm fascinated with, you know, the conditions and the delicate nature of the surgery. But children are extremely inspirational. They really are very resilient. And you watch them, as you said, you watch them just bounce back from a huge operation. And I think it's because children are so pure. You know, they really just want to get back to living their lives. They're not looking for additional attention, or, you know, they're not getting anything out of taking more time out of school or things like that. So you can really tell when a child feels better, even if I don't know them. You know, obviously I don't know the patients personally, but when I see them after surgery, you can just see it in a child's face and in their actions that they're feeling better because they just want to get back to living life. And it really should be an inspiration to all of us of how to be and how to bounce back from things that are difficult.
Absolutely. And I wish, you know, if a certain percentage of our patients in the adult population will actually follow that, I mean, it will be so much better.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
Hablábamos con la doctora Dimapuri de que una vez más los niños, pues obviamente, si vale el término, rebotan muy, muy fácilmente de este tipo de operaciones. Yo recuerdo en mi entrenamiento, podían haber tenido una cirugía, pero muy extensa, y al día siguiente ya estaban levantados de la cama, estaban jugando, estaban caminando. Así que, pues los niños realmente la fisiología que tienen es realmente impresionante. Y yo creo que como adultos pues podríamos seguir el ejemplo de ellos porque obviamente rebotan, como habíamos dicho, de este tipo de operaciones, se recuperan, pero extremadamente bien. Doctora, cuénteme acerca de unas historias de pacientes favoritos. Alguien, digamos, reciente tal vez al que le haya afectado, que le haya, impactado en su práctica reciente. Hablemos, let's talk a little bit about, I know that you probably have like hundreds of stories, but maybe a recent story of a child that you might have treated at St. Luke's that, has marked you, has impressed you, something that you would like to share, you know, with the audience today?
Sure, you're right. I do have a lot of stories of children that have inspired me over the years and I've had the fortune of helping to take care of. A recent story, let me think. I took care of a sick child when I first started here. She had a very bad appendicitis and it had burst and she was just very sick and was in the hospital for a while. But she got better. And just as we were talking about, watching how much she was able to tolerate, she had a lot of pain and a lot of, you know, couldn't really move around well. But slowly over time, she kept improving and kept improving to the point where, we got her out of the hospital, I saw her in the office, you wouldn't even know that this child had ever been sick. She was just back to herself and, you know, a beautiful, happy child, you know, and made me a very beautiful picture that she drew for me. And that really meant a lot, you know, to hear thank you from a child and to see them get better. That's really why we do this every day. You know, that nothing could be more gratifying to me. And I feel blessed to be able to help take care of these kids.
That is fantastic. Fantastic. Algunas de las experiencias en pacientes que ha tenido la doctora Timapuri, donde una vez más lo que hablábamos anteriormente, pacientes que pueden estar realmente enfermos, pero que después de una atención, una cirugía de emergencia pediátrica, pues se recuperan de una manera muy, digamos, prontamente y tempranamente. Así que algo bastante o algo muy satisfactorio en la práctica de la doctora. Dr. Timapuri, what a pleasure. Thank you so much on behalf of the Hispanic community. We really thank you for everything that you're doing in the Lehigh Valley. And we're really hoping that in the near future, we could have you back as a guest so we can talk through for another interesting topic.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure was entirely mine. Y estimado escucha, si usted desea o necesita obtener más información sobre este tema o requiere hacer una cita con uno de los médicos especialistas del Hospital de St. Luke's, llame al 1-866-SAINT-LUKE'S, visítenos en internet en la página www.slhn.org o visítenme en mi página web en el www.leonardoclarosmd.com. Será hasta la próxima semana. Gracias por estar con nosotros. Nos vemos pronto.